morally speaking, it is a difficult world for kids that are in elementary school, for our teens, for the young adult, and for everybody, all the way up to our ages, wherever we are right now at our age. There are people that are doing ungodly things. That's what makes them a confused world when it comes to morality. They say things, they lie, they curse, they do all kinds of things that are against God. And it gets very confusing for our children when they say a beer commercial on TV, when they say see some sort of tobacco product on TV, when they see extramarital affairs on TV, when all of this media gets together and connects, what we have is a nation sold on sex. That's the truth of the matter. It's been said a very long time ago, sex sells. So our children, particularly our children of this congregation, must fight that to have success as a Christian. So let's begin. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. If we were to take those thoughts one by one, the scriptures are able to teach us what is wrong in our lives. And so that takes some self-reflection. I have to look at myself and I have to compare myself to what I see in the scripture, and I'm either comparable to what the scripture says or I'm not. It's not just a little bit. Oh, I'm a little bit like the scripture. That doesn't fly. It's not like I mostly act like the scripture. Well, that doesn't fly either. And I got to tell you that I'm all the way into the scriptures, and that's fantastic. That's what we want. You see, the scripture, the Bible, is an anchor for our souls, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is. Well, if we go on, we also understand. Whoop! I left something out there. What is true?
My bad. Sorry.
So we understand from God, that's the truth of things. That's the way God planned things. That's the way God wants things upon this earth to be. And apparently only Christians are doing that. And when I say Christians, I mean sincere Christians. I mean those who practice Christianity, a daily walk with Jesus. And once again, at any age, you can be a baptized elementary student. You could be a baptized high schooler, what they call middle school these days. We call it junior high. And of course, on into the rest of our lives, the rest of our years. So God tells us what is true. And that beer commercial that's on TV, that's not true. Oh, there are people that buy into that, but that's not the truth. All of those inappropriate things that you see and hear on media, that's not true. Oh, there are people that buy into that, don't get me wrong, but that's not what's true according to God. It also corrects us. When we're wrong. So, when you see yourself and you compare yourself to God's word, when you make that connection, you might well say, once again, I'm here. I'm doing what the scripture wants me to do. But on the other hand, we might have cursed at school or on the job or at somebody or even horribly still each other. So we don't want that because that's God's working. That's God's doing. God does not want abusive language to come out of our mouths. And you know what the issue is? It's emotions. Our emotions pop up in our brain suddenly. And those emotions are extremely difficult to handle. You ever known churches that have gotten in a fuss and they stand up and yell at each other? I've heard of that. I've heard of churches being so angry with one another that they are screaming at one another, even in the assembly. So, when we get those kinds of things, we see what is wrong with us, and God says, don't be doing that. That's a simple lesson. And so we get that from God. He says, don't be screaming at your brother. Don't be screaming at anybody, even your kids. Don't be screaming at people on the street or at the job or at the school. Don't be cursing those people. That's a practical lesson for every young person that is of our number that are attending school. We have to fight our emotions. Take a look just real quickly. I didn't list this, but take a look over in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Starting in verse 6. Now Cain did not give the proper sacrifice to the Lord. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must overrule it. Desire, rule over. Desire, contrary. Desire, sin. And you must rule over it. Now, we don't use that term today very much when it comes to sermons and whatnot. We usually say self-control. You have desires, and I guarantee you, you're going to have inordinate desires, desires that you shouldn't have, thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about. That's just the world getting in on our minds. But how do we correct it? Well, here's what the Lord said. You must rule over it. We use self-control. And that's a big thing. And that's why it's so difficult for young people even to understand what sins they've committed before they've been baptized. And sometimes they want to be baptized. And I would tell them, you know, this is going to be for the rest of your life. What sins do you have to be forgiven of? And the answer is, I don't know. And the answer to that is, you shouldn't be baptized. If you don't know what your sin is, then you shouldn't be coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness of who knows what. So the kids have to be old enough to understand those things. But even still, just as a human being living on this earth in our country, our emotions get the best of us. When somebody fusses at us at school, we fuss back. If somebody were to hit us at school, we hit back. If somebody were to kick us at school or trip us at school and be ugly to us in all kinds of different ways, we consider replying that way to them. The school says, yeah, you don't be doing that. Well, in the NFL, it's always the guy that responds. So you might get, you know, the person might hit me on the football field, but if I respond back, I'm the one that's getting the flag. So, in the same life, we get the picture. We get it all the time. You can't respond if your desire is for God. You can't respond in like manner. You've got to use God's word. So I invite you to turn now to Psalms 119. You can probably say this on your own. Psalm 119. And it will tell us that your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet. So if there's a lamp that's on the path, because, you know, Jesus says the way is narrow and the path is narrow that leads to heaven, and only a few find a narrow gate that we're talking about. So you work your way into that narrow gate, and then you see, oh, look, this is a path. Oh, look, there's a rock, big rock down there. And there's a big bottle of water over here. And so I don't want to get involved in that. How am I going to get around these things? Well, God's word is going to tell you how to get around these things. So as you go down that path, and maybe it's dark on the left side and on the right side, God's word is going to guide you to heaven. That's super important. God's word is what will get you to heaven. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sin, God's word is what will get you into heaven. How is that? Because doing what God wants done is what gets people into heaven. So don't be evil. Don't be bad. Don't kick when somebody else kicks you. Don't kick back. Don't be hurtful. Don't be mean. Don't tattle. You know, all those things that you should have learned in grade school that you still haven't learned even in middle school. All right. So God's word is an anchor for your life. You know what an anchor is? Ships drop the anchor. You ever seen those anchors on like cruisers and battleships and aircraft carriers? Those things are humongous. I mean, they're probably the size of this room or near it. And so that anchor goes down and hits the bottom of the seabed, hits the seabed, and it gets drugged for just a little bit as the ship is moving. But that big, huge anchor will catch on something and it will stop that ship from moving forward. And I'm talking ships that weigh 72 tons or more. Gigantic, enormous ships. And they get stuck on something on purpose because of that anchor. And so the ship is going nowhere because of the anchor. And you're not going to go astray if the Word of God is your anchor. Stay with God, stay with the Word, and you know you're going to heaven. The best life that you can have on this earth is doing what God wants you to do. Well, that doesn't sound all that feasible because, you know, there are people that are mean to me, and what am I going to do about that? Well, I just told you. Stay with God's Word. And when you're an adult and you're living God's Word, you'll have the very best life possible because you're doing what God wants you to be doing. Here's the second point. If you want to be morally clear in whatever is going on in the world, then take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Let me read the verse and we'll go back up a little bit. For to this you have been called. So I can tell you that God has called your name and your name and your name and your name. But he calls us through the gospel, of course. But God speaks directly to you through his word. And so you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. So that when others are messing with you, you will be able to follow in his steps. And he goes on to say, he committed no sin, neither was he lying. There was no deceit in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So what does this say? Look at 23. When he was fussed at, when he was reviled, people were throwing kicking words at him. He did not revile in turn. He could have just said that and they were gone. But he didn't. He chose to continue relying totally and completely on God. You know what's interesting to me? There were indeed several bullies in middle school and on into high school. But you know what? You know what I found out and realized? That somewhere in their adult life, those people died, have been killed in some way or another because of the life they choose to live, the ungodly life that they choose to live. Now, isn't that fascinating? Maybe some of you adults have seen that when you went through school. Maybe there was somebody on campus that was just a mean dude. And so when he gets out of school, he continues his mean way, and he gets himself involved in something that's dangerous, and he gets killed. I've seen it. Maybe you have too. Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you must follow in Jesus Christ. Now, pick out the very best Christian that you know. Who would you model yourself after? Who do you want to look like as a Christian? Well, a lot of people say the Apostle Paul, or maybe Peter might be one of those models that I want to make myself like. Well, of course, we all want to be like Jesus, but Christianity in the real world as it's happening day by day, you might see one guy, one woman, and you say, I want to be like that person. And so that is something that you want to model. You want to follow what those people do because you think they're such a good Christian. Well, even higher, we follow Jesus because he is the Christ. And what he said and did was perfect. So when we are in life, out in the real world, as we sometimes say, when life comes at you hard, you've got to trust your complete life to Jesus. Complete life to Jesus. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Don't trust in your own understanding, but lean on the Lord for everything. Lean on the Lord, and he will get you through. So if you're scared about money, if you pay attention to God, he'll get you through. If you're scared about food, God will get you food if you're serving him. If you're concerned about anything in life, even if my child were to pass from this life, somehow or another, God will get you through that if you continue to connect yourself to God. All right, here's the other thing. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Here's Paul, and he's finishing up this book of 1 Corinthians. And he's given some instructions to folks through the church there. And he's given some benediction, some greetings to folks that were there as well. So he says in verse 13, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. That word watchful, very interesting word. Because it's like you're creeping along in the enemy's forest. And you don't want the enemy to grab hold of you or to destroy you or kill you or whatever the case might be. So what do? You creep along. You are extremely watchful. Other versions say, be on guard. So as you're creeping along, don't let the enemy get a hold of you. Because that's what you have to do. When you're out in life and all the stuff is going on around you, be on guard for your spiritual self. Make sure that you are indeed surrounded by God. Then he says, stand firm in the faith. Well, that faith comes from God. That faith comes from Jesus Christ. Our faith comes from the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So when we are experiencing life, we must stand firm in the faith. What would you do if we got nuked? Houston's not that far away. We'd get some amount of fallout here, even in here in Bay City. So if Houston got nuked, everything would go crazy. All your electronics would be broken. All the electronics wouldn't work anymore. All your cars wouldn't work anymore. If you've got a battery in your watch is not going to work anymore. All of those things are gone. You'd be living in the dark. So you better have some candles around you. If we got nuked, what are you going to do? you may be scared out of your wits, and I understand that. I probably would be too. But I know that the answer is to totally rely on God. That's the answer to everything in life. So we got to stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Well, what are men like? Men are perceived as strong. Men are perceived as decisive. Men are leaders. Some men are followers, and that's fine, but they have a ton of abilities, even if they're following. Act like men. Act like a strong person in Jesus Christ. Some guys do incredibly hard work. I was digging ditches for the city of Nacogdoches in August. And I decided, I'm going to go back to college and get an air-conditioned job. That was my thing. And so I went back to college and got an air-conditioned job. That's exactly what happened. But you got to be a man about things. You got to be strong. You got to be strong in the faith, which is exactly what this verse follows up with, to be strong. This sermon that I've given this morning is like information. Information on how you must live. If you plan on going to heaven, if you want to be there, then you must live this way. And if you don't, then you're not going to make it to heaven. God tells you the right way to do things. And we must live up to that right way of doing things. Hence 2 Timothy 3:16, inspired by God, it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. That's where you're focused. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to live. In God's Word this morning. Has the path been dark for you? Do you need God's Word as a lamp? If so, please come forward where we stand.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness when we shall join the happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend an endless day. Savior will be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder o'er things that life has brought to view. All will be clearer, ones be dearer in heaven. No tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known.
Again, thank everyone for being here this morning. Appreciate your presence. May the Lord bless your day. We always have a few announcements at the end of our sermon. or at the end of our service, if you will. I'd like everyone to be sure and pick up a sermon document. Inside there is a good list of folks that need our prayers. Also, go down the list, the Huffmans, David and Dee Dee, Grayson and Janine, their family is traveling. They're in Possum Walk, Texas, Trinity County, Texas. Also, be mindful of, and I think Olivia's with them as well, the Krennics, their sickness in the family. Also, the Bells are traveling, and so let's be mindful of them. Also, let's keep in our spirit, let's be mindful of the Adkins family. And Amanda will be with us in spirit forever, but nonetheless, let's be mindful of her family and the grief that they're dealing with now. So with that said, I believe I have announcements for September. If you will, contact me in the forthcoming weeks, our services for September. I'll prepare for the announcements. Is there anything else that I don't know about that needs to be mentioned, made known right now? Okay, if not, appreciate again everyone's presence. Pray for each other. Let's walk in the light where Jesus is. Let's walk in His, follow His footsteps as we prepare to go into the week. Be here, back here at 7 p.m. Wednesday evening. Hope to see you then for Bible study. If not, or if there's nothing else, then we'll be having our closing.